just so gentle.
We're still... Welcome back, friends. Yes, this is our last episode. We are on to practical considerations. Sarah rightly points out that the church gives us saints for emulation, for companionship. So how to recognize authentic freedom and to form a conscience means to develop freedom and a properly formed conscience. We aren't just born with it. So our first point of practicality, if you will, is that we have to examine our own lives, both with the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, the wisdom of Sirach, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Proverbs, and New Testament norms. Magna Carta, the Sermon on the Mount, right? And then the Pauline writings, where he talks about gossip, and he's including gossip and sodomites, both not going to heaven, right? So a very good examination of conscience is, to my mind, that's the first step for practical formation.
Yeah, and really an examination of conscience is not, you that needs to start really very, very young. And it's one of the things that I'm very thankful for with my husband is that, you know, every night, almost every night, I mean, obviously, you know, there are exceptions to that rule that prove it, but every night we will pray the church's evening prayer. You know, I mean, we've talked about the liturgy of the hours, and that actually part of that is an examination of conscience. And so from little on, my kids have been hearing their dad walk them through an examination of conscience every night. That, you know, hopefully is engendering a lifelong practice. But, you know, and I think about when we were growing up, really, it was not until I was in my mid-20s, maybe even 30, that I ever heard the term affirm amendment to change. I mean, so I had, by God's grace, I guess I was raised, we were raised at the time, you know, when we were younger, where for the most part, the culture still supported the norms that the church proposes to us as being part of a rightly formed conscience. The culture was not viciously opposed to that in the way that it is today. You could see breaches, but the breaches that we saw seemed so egregious. So consequently, having our consciences formed at that time, we had the benefit of both our family and our society kind of helping us to form that conscience. But now it's really essential that that is done in the home, because there are going to be people, you know, you are bringing up the scriptures as really a necessary guide to forming our consciences. And there are places, you know, in Canada and even here in America where they want to be able to condemn the use of the Bible as hate speech.
That's correct. That is correct. And so many people in China have not had the gospel brought to them.
Absolutely.
Yep. And with that examination of conscience, the examination of life goes together a good confession. And when I mean good, I mean it's specific, it's targeted, it's not vague, it's not general. It's personally relevant, and it's not talking about other people. I've heard sin come out of confessions, what has been advised to variety of souls has just been nothing but sin and more sin, sacrilege and more sacrilege, unless it's time to be honest about it. That is the truth. So what a good confession, not, you know, I'm some sort, number in kind. You know, I lied three times, or I took the Lord's name in vain, or whatever. I gossiped. There's plenty of places you can, if you need a refresher. If we all, and not just you, we all need refreshers, you know, to kind of look at those good lists, because we have a rip. For me, it's real easy to, it's on the best.
Well, and I think that really part of the problem here, again, is a lack of vocabulary. you know, you were talking about being specific, and I will say that, you know, there has been a decided lack of education in regards to naming what sins are. People have been very, very hesitant to call sins sins, and so consequently, the people who have to go and confess them don't even know how to name them. I think that the vast majority of people in America think that they know that they have to go to, I mean, well, not Catholics, let's say. They know about confession. They've been encouraged to go to confession. But when push comes to shove, they look in the mirror and they think, eh, like you just said, I don't really do anything that bad. And it's really because, you know, they've been told their whole lives that they're virtuous, that they do good things. They get ribbons for that. They get ribbons for this. And no one has ever told them what was wrong. Because, you know, to tell people about hell, to talk about death, to talk about sin, oh, that's the bad Catholic Church. They just want to make you guilty. Okay, well, you know what? You're going to feel guilty. Isn't it better to be able to have a name to articulate why you feel guilty than to just simply feel miserable? And I do think that we need to, and maybe that would be an opportunity for another day, is to, you know, there are seven deadly sins. They do actually have names. But there are also a great number of other sins that to help people articulate a way of going to confession. The vast majority of people are not trained in regards to do that. You know, when you even were using the terms number and kind, I think that those are two terms that are lost to the ages.
Well, this is a spiritually safe place for the Catholic refugee and those other unfortunate souls who come and stumble across it. So she has brought up a lifelong study of the faith, and that is very much on my next point. It is. And the Ted and I, he always reads from the at breakfast, some spiritual reading, but so we're going through memorizing the faith, different points. I just found mnemonic for the apostles, but anyway, the seven deadly sins and their daughters.
Right, and their daughters. That's right, and their daughters.
Yes.
Right. Exactly, right. Because those are names. Then, you know, if you know what they are, sometimes we just don't have a name for what we're doing.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you know, we just may not be able to articulate. And that's one of those lines where I think, you know, where Christ says, my people are perishing for their lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't instruct children, how will they know what to say? I mean, we instruct them for their grammar, right? We correct their bad usage of words. We, you know, those are things that we take time and effort for. But it's one of the things that I like about Maria Montessori is that, you know, this introduction of words, this giving people the names of things is so essential to the human person. And so I think that in terms of a practical understanding, practicality is based in the real. And for the real to be able to be understood, it has to be articulated.
It does. I think
it's hard for us to be practical because no one has ever, the priest will tell us, oh, go to confession. Well, what am I supposed to tell you when I get there? Because how many times have you been told, well, that's not a sin? You know, you arrive and you tell somebody to the priest that you've thought that you've discerned, and then he's like, well, I mean, that's not really a sin.
Okay. Or worse, he confirms you in your sin. Or worse.
Right. Or worse, yes.
Right. Or worse. And so the next practical consideration is good friends. And so our friendship here, Sarah, and I know you have a next, I have, we need friends. And I hope all of you who have come across this these series of shows, you feel like you're friends, because we all need that mark. The saints, Anne and Joachim, Maria Goretti, you know, I'm focusing on July, Our Lady.
St. Peter and St. Paul.
Saints Peter and Paul yesterday, right. Of happy memory. We have twins. I have to, before we run out of time, and this is going to be our last episode, I promise, Sarah. Silence. Greg's advice of fatherhood and how to develop into being a father, he highlighted the central role of silence. Yeah. That's right. Is your home a noise factory? I mean, yes, if you got a lot of people, a lot of kids, okay. That's not what I'm talking about.
Not at all.
That's not at all what I'm talking about. Is the TV always on? Is the radio always on? Are we always checking?
Yes.
Is that always going off and we've got to get on to it?
Yeah. Find time for your brain to just ponder. I love that line about the Blessed Mother, and she pondered all these things in her heart.
That's right. Where do we spend our money and where do we spend our time? That is really a practical consideration, because you follow the money and you follow your time, and you're going to follow what you value, what's worthwhile to you.
Absolutely.
So Sarah and I, we exhort you that you can have authentic liberty and you can have a morally formed conscience, but there is only one way, and it's through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a preferred way. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. You're going to get truth here, whether you like it.
No, we're moms. You're going to eat your peas. If you don't eat your peas, what will you ever suffer for the gospel?
That's right. You can offer it up.
Yeah.
That's all right. Any final parting thoughts?
Yeah. No, not particularly. I do think that the one thing that is going to be requisite in these times is courage. And these truths and this life that we are called to live is going to be highly countercultural. So, you have to fortify yourself. And the only way that you can fortify yourself is through making sure that you know what a well-formed conscience is, and then availing yourself of the sacraments to strengthen the faith and the hope and the love that is given to you sacramentally as a gift. We must tap into these wellsprings of grace to be courageous.
That's true. That's exactly right. All right, my friends, till the next time, Fides et Ratio.